If you have an outline, if you received one as you came in this morning, you might want to have that in front of you. It's not our normal outline, and I wanted to explain that. So our passage today from 1 Peter chapter 5 is something that I was exposed to early in my spiritual journey. My resident assistant in my dorm, that's the upperclassmen that try to keep the freshmen from killing themselves, he had an assignment for one of his classes, and so he took the passage of Scripture that is in front of you, and he wrote a song. And that was the first of many songs that he wrote, and I thought it was pretty cool. So that's, I learned how to play guitar with that song. And so I've had these verses memorized for 45 years in the Revised Standard Version, which is what you have in front of me. So after 45 years of memorization, you know, I'm going to stick with what I know. So that's, we put it on the outline in a way that hopefully makes it clear where this passage is going. And feel free as we're going along to, you know, write on that and connect things. Maybe as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're supposed to do something, maybe write a note to somebody, just write a reminder on that yourself. But I love this passage, one of my favorites in the Bible. And during a hard season in my life a couple of years ago, this is one of the few passages that I held on to for strength and comfort. So I'm happy to share it with you. I wanted to start with just a kind of a summary of a short story by Flannery O'Connor. It's called The Geranium. And I know some of you are gardeners, and you know that this is not a geranium. It's an orchid. But did you know that you cannot buy geraniums, potted geraniums, in Wegmans this time of year? So I asked the person working there, I said, what's a plant that has a good root system? So she pointed me in this direction, and it's pretty beautiful, right? So back to the story, the geranium. In it, O'Connor tells a story of an older man who was from a rural town in Georgia. But as he got older, his daughter wanted to have him closer so she could help him. And so he moved from his rural home in Georgia to New York City. And so every day while she was at work, she would go out in the balcony. And of course, there's another apartment building just across the way. And the only thing worth looking at was a geranium. And one day, the geranium got bumped and it fell several stories. And you can imagine when it hit the ground, it fell apart. And so the old man gets up out of his seat, and he wanders over, and he sees this plant sitting there, and the roots are sticking out. And what he doesn't know, that we know, is that that geranium is a picture of his life. He's been uprooted from where he had been rooted in Georgia. And now he is uprooted in New York City. And I suspect that there have been times in all of our lives when we feel uprooted, right? Maybe a husband or wife or father or mother have died, and that has an uprooting effect on all of us. Or maybe we've moved to a different town, or maybe entered a different stage of life and we feel uprooted. Or maybe there's a cancer diagnosis, or maybe even some good thing that's come into our lives, and something has changed, and we feel like the ground has shifted under our feet. I certainly have had several of those uprooting experiences. So the question is then, when we feel uprooted and are uprooted, what, as followers of Jesus, what do we do? And thankfully, Peter has a good word for us today in chapter 5 as he's completing his first letter. And it starts with a quote from Proverbs, which provides a starting point for his teaching. Peter tells us, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In fact, you heard that earlier in James chapter 4, didn't you? Same proverb. And again, this truth provides a foundation for the rest of Peter's encouragement to us. If we don't accept it, then none of what Peter tells us makes sense. We'll just have to figure out life on our own. As I was studying the passage this week, I asked this question: why does God oppose the proud? Our proud stance, our proud, self-sufficient attitude keeps God at length, at a distance, at arm's length. And God knows our hearts and our minds. So in our pride, we say to God, keep back. I can handle this on my own. So God honors that. He keeps back. Why does God give grace or help or gifts to the humble? Our humble posture invites God to work in our lives. Here's a little secret. Part of why I opened the altar this morning is so that all of us have a humble posture in our minds. Right? When we bow in prayer, is that not a symbol of humility? We're bowing in God's presence. We're inviting Him to work in our lives. We're asking Him to. Our humility says to God, I need your help, please. And God loves to help His kids. So based on this premise, Peter encourages us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you. Do you see that small word, therefore? And I learned this when I first started in seminary. Some guy in my class said, whenever you see the word therefore, you always ask what it's there for. And I thought, that's so corny. But it's true, right? It always connects things. So what does the word therefore mean here? It connects this invitation to humble yourselves to what he just said, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, since that's true, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Makes sense. Want to experience God's help in hard times? Do you want peace and strength and wisdom and hope? Bow before God and ask Him to help you. And there's a hope, there's a promise attached to this, that in due time, He may exalt you. He may lift you out of the valley of humility. And we're going to circle back to this in a few minutes. What does Peter mean when he says, in due time? I mean, is that a month that we must spend in the valley of humility? Is it 9 months? Or 2 years? Or 5 years? What's the answer? We don't know. In due time. And even though God may not have caused our circumstances, we do know that God can use our time in the valley of humility to shape us, to break up some hard pieces and places in our lives. And I think probably part of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God includes surrendering our timetable to our wise Father. Because I know my idea of in due time is shorter than his idea. So before Paul completes this thought, he folds in some practical and helpful advice. And on your sheet, you can see these two thoughts are indented. The first suggestion is this: cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. What a gift! A burden shared is a burden halved. So God, the creator of the universe, the Father of Jesus, invites us to share our burdens with him. What a gift. The verb cast means to throw. Throw your anxieties on him. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to bother God with my little problems. But doesn't this passage answer that? He invites us to. He wants us to. He loves us. He wants us to share our anxieties, to throw them on him because he loves us. He wants to share our burdens. This is a grace. This is a gift. It's a gift to be able to throw my concerns on God and have him help carry the load, have him offer wisdom and peace. As we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we share our fears and our burdens with him. The second suggestion folded in here is this: be sober, be watchful. We'd say be wide awake. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. We know that when we are in the valley of humiliation, we are vulnerable to the attack of the devil, the enemy of our souls. It's like there's this little demon sitting on our shoulder, chattering away at us. You know, you brought this on yourself. Who do you think you are, pretending to be one of the good people? You better get away from people, off by yourself. And if we listen to the devil, if we fall asleep, he will devour us. He will eat us for lunch. So Peter says, don't do it. Stay awake. Stand firm in your faith. Tell the devil to take a hike. And again, when I go through a hard time, I take a Bible passage just like this one. I write it out on an index card. I put it on my in my pocket. And when the devil starts chattering at me, I pull it out of my pocket and I read it. And I hold on to the truth. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to put a bug in your ear. You know, we've been studying this letter that Peter wrote to encourage the churches. And I think it would be really lovely if one of the ways we respond to what Peter has written would be for us to write a note of encouragement to somebody in our lives. Was thinking of you, I'm praying for you, I care about you. Just a simple note of encouragement. Think about all the people there in the room right now. Wouldn't that be cool if every one of us sent a note of encouragement to somebody this week? So Peter encourages us to open a door for God's help by humbling ourselves in his presence. He's folded in these two helpful words: throw your anxieties on God, resist the devil. And now he returns to this idea of what happens when we humble ourselves before God. And this is beautiful. And after you have suffered a little while, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you are going through a hard time right now, don't miss this. How does Peter refer to God? He is the God of all grace. His nature is to be gracious to us. He gives us gifts that we don't deserve but need. He forgives us through the work of his Son, Jesus. He brings healing to our lives through his people and through his Holy Spirit. He gives us strength for the day. The God of all grace, if you humble yourself in God's presence, after a little while, the God of all grace. And then there's this little parenthesis. Oh, by the way, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ? Who's helping us? The God who wants to share eternity with you and gave his Son so that you could experience that. Who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. You think you matter to God? This is the God that we humble ourselves to, under his mighty hand. Back to our poor little plant. It's been uprooted. Pat, we can't leave this plant up unrooted, right? No. Those of us who are plant lovers, we just see it languishing here. And so here's the word picture that God himself will so gently take us and replant us. He will restore, establish, and strengthen us. we will be replanted by God Himself. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a hard time, I was clinging to this promise that God Himself would restore, establish, and strengthen me. He would replant me. He'd take a personal interest in me. He would bring me healing and strength and help and wisdom. And if you're going through a hard time right now, I invite you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that in due time He may exalt you, that God Himself will restore, establish, and strengthen you. Because that's what God does, given the chance. Let's take a moment. If you've been here more than 1 week, you know that after every time that we hear the Word of God explained, that we take time to respond to it. So how are you going to respond to what you have heard this morning? I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. Father, thank you that in the hard times and hard seasons of our lives, you don't leave us on our own. You don't walk away from us. We do humble ourselves before you, under your mighty hand. And in due time, we pray that you would lift us up. Again, I pray for anybody who is here this morning who's going through a difficult season in their lives. I pray that they would open the door for you to work in them. And that they would allow you, the God of all grace, to restore, establish, and strengthen them. And we give you our praise. To you be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.